Hello and welcome back to the Modern Court Reporter podcast, where we discuss all things court reporting. As always, I'm Dan Malgren.
And I'm Darlene Williams.
In today's episode, Darlene and I are happy to once again be joined by Christina Tan. Christina is a certified court reporter in Virginia and has been reporting for 5 years already, though it seems like just yesterday when she took her first job. She was one of the first graduates of Planet Institute Mentoring Program, and she joins us today to address the topic of time management, a much requested topic by many of you. Welcome, Christina.
Thanks, Dan. Thanks, Darlene.
It's great to see you again, Christina, and have you join us for this particular topic. I think I'd like to start this morning with you just giving the listeners a brief background about your journey through Planet Institute and how you got to where you are today, 5+ years in already.
Time flies, doesn't it?
Yes, it does.
So I completed court reporting school at South Coast College. I was also a resource coordinator and an eclipse trainer over there. And when I was finishing school, I had learned about the Planet Institute through a good friend of mine, Jesse Fry. And so basically we applied for it, got it, and I mean, learned so much. What we had learned has been invaluable in terms of transitioning from school to work. Just when you're at school, the transcripts are a little bit different. You're geared towards doing a test versus at the job, you're geared towards getting a transcript out. And so I've been really able to merge like my work experience and my experience through the program to try to really work efficiently. And so I'm happy to share that with everybody.
Great. So when you took your first real job as the reporter, did you feel a little bit overwhelmed when it was over?
A little bit. I mean, there was just so much to learn. And as you're learning, you just realize there's so much more for you to learn. One of the wonderful things that I had gotten as a Planet Institute mentee from a reporter I was shadowing was a depot book. And basically a depot book is a notebook that you can write in, and it kind of outlines the job. And, you know, there's a place to stick an attorney card and just write down notes about the job, reading and signing, witness name and address. So that really helped me kind of organize things and keep track of my work from the get-go.
Wonderful. And those are invaluable tools to have. I remember when I got my first depot book and I was absolutely enthralled with how, like you said, how organized it helps you become.
Exactly. And part of that too is I have a label maker, and I actually made myself a little checklist, because it is overwhelming when you get to a job site, even just the simple act of setting up. So I would have a little checklist to make sure certain things were done. So, well, and we'll get to this in a little bit, but I would have my cover pages done and billing and processing forms done. If the job was video, I would make sure to sync time with the videographer, because those are things that are easily overlooked sometimes. And if the transcript is a rush, what day the attorney needs it by. So I would kind of give myself a little bullet point checklist of things I really need to focus on for each job.
Awesome. I think it's very helpful for students and new reporters to understand that the job continues well past just writing or taking the job down, that there's a whole bevy of things that follow. And so learning that process and learning how to get through that process, I think, is a big factor for everyone getting started.
Absolutely.
So what did you find to be your first obstacle as far as your time management went once you actually wrote the job?
I think that the first obstacle was just learning how much the little things add up to like a big chunk of time. And by that, I mean, once again, in school, you're geared towards, you know, school transcripts, which are, depending on the transcript themselves, are around 5 to 20 pages, sometimes 40, depending on the school. Mm-hmm. But I mean, it's just so test centered and transcript centered that you don't realize how much time, even small things like taking care of exhibits, taking care of paperwork, that all adds up. So my kind of tip to that is sometimes when you get out of a job and you're really brain dead, take care of that stuff, because it's kind of the easier things to take care of. But all that just sucks up time. There are days where I before I even sit down with a job, I'm like, let me take care of all these little things. And a couple of hours later, you're like, okay, now I'm ready to work on the actual transcript. So just realizing and allocating how much of the back end work, you know, even bookkeeping, that all adds up. So just make sure that that's part of the job too.
Absolutely. A common denominator that I hear from students who've graduated the Planet Institute program and are now reporting is they realize now how much time it takes to actually produce a transcript. And we're talking about the official record now, as opposed to, like you said, the testing mentality that you're in school. It's two very different dynamics. And so they're always looking for advice about how do I make sure that I'm going to meet my deadline, my turn-in deadline that the agency is requesting, because I didn't realize it was going to take me this long to produce 50 pages of transcript. So do you have some advice for them?
So my advice is, you know, really take each job at its own, because you're going to have jobs that make you feel like a rock star that you can get out the same day. And you have other jobs that make you wonder if you even went to court reporting school in the first place. So, you know, really take each job as its own. So if a job is particularly difficult, I would suggest breaking that up into little chunks. So what I normally do is, most agencies have an eight business day turnaround. I employ a proofreader, so I know that who needs a 48-hour turnaround for regular delivery. So I basically just kind of do the math. I know we're court reporters and we don't math very well, but I do my best. So I have 6 days from when I first took the job to really get it out. So if it's a particularly hard job, then what I do is I divide the amount of pages that I need to do over six. And so that's what that way it's not so overwhelming. And for easy jobs, if you know they're easy, just get it out and just get it out of the way, because certain states, not everything orders. And sometimes you'll get blindsided with a back order, or the attorney will change their mind and say, hey, actually, I need that rush. How soon can you get it to me? So if you take care of the little easy stuff, it just kind of frees up more time to be able to accommodate those requests.
So very true. I just had this discussion with a new reporter just recently. She wanted to know if she should work on a transcript that hadn't been ordered yet. And I suggested that, yes, work on that transcript a little bit at a time, work it in around your regular jobs. And by the time she got it done, she'd gotten a call that now they were ordering that transcript. So it worked out well for her. She already had it in the pipeline. She just needed to finish proofreading it and then have her proofreader read it. And I think that's another important factor that young reporters need to understand, is that time management also involves reaching beyond just producing those pages, but the people that you need in place to help you reach those deadlines. And I always highly recommend to our new students, and well, to the new students who graduate and go on to agency positions, that their first investment needs to be in a proofreader, because the proofreader is going to make you look like that rock star that you want to be right out of the gate. And so if you have people like that lined up for yourself, then it makes that whole time management process a little less stressful, because you know that there's still that professional that's going to read behind you before that job gets turned in. And I love the idea that you just presented about breaking those difficult jobs up into smaller, manageable segments. I think it really helps to take that pressure away, that how am I ever going to start tackling this? Because I think when you do write that job, 9 times out of 10, it's not nearly as bad as you think it is when you take it. But when you sit down to try to work on it, it's so overwhelming because it was a bad memory. And so the time management aspect of breaking it down and only tackling so much in any given day helps to reduce that stress. And I think it makes it for a much better product in the end, because they've actually managed their time through the job without the pressure of trying to get through it all at once just because it was bad.
Exactly.
Go ahead, Christina.
Well, I wanted to add to that is, I mean, on top of like having a difficult job, there's also other jobs that may not be so difficult, but require a ton of research. I remember starting out when, you know, when you're so new, you don't know what you don't know. And so I would go into, you know, sometimes these doctor depots or medical malpractice depots, and you're writing things phonetically and going, was that one word, two words, or three words? I'm not sure. And you, to go back and research it and listen to it, and you know, that all takes time. And that's why sometimes, like, you can't quite always rely on page count, because it's really the difficulty and the density of the transcript. So you have to keep that in mind as well.
It's an excellent point. And I think that that whole research aspect is the part that gets overlooked from the new reporter perspective, because you think you got things down and now all of a sudden now it's time to put it together. And it's like, well, I know that word. And so you just go on and don't think about it until the proofreader sends it back. And you're like, how did I get that wrong? Because like you very aptly said, you don't know what you don't know. So you have to start out from the perspective. You can't assume that what you've got is correct. Things sound so similar, but can have extremely different meanings. And you need to know how to research in order to put together that finished, polished product. And once again, factoring in the time to do that research. And it will take a lot longer than you expect it to once you get started. Speaking of research, when you started actually writing jobs on your own, and producing your own transcripts, did you find that there was technology out there that could help you manage your time management better?
Absolutely. There's so many things that I use that help me along. One of the things that I always recommend for students and new reporters is really learn your software. When I was a student, I made it a point to go to conventions. Because those student rates are the best rates in terms of the value for the money, just getting to know your software. And I know, you know, I was a student too, and there were, you know, times where you just want to focus on passing those tests. But the more you know your software, the better you will be at it, and the faster you'll be able to get jobs out. It's as simple as that. So I know there are several types of software out there, but all of them have shortcut keys. So definitely take the time to learn those shortcut keys. So that's my big piece of advice. Every software system has block files. You might know them as block files or includes, but basically what they are templates, so that when you have a job, you know, obviously for any job out there, you just don't start off with the transcript, with the text. There are several pages of the cover page. And so instead of building that stuff from scratch, set yourself up, either build it yourself or get a trainer or get classmates, because, you know, people have build includes all the time, and have solid block files. So you're literally just putting in each line and having it fill in and do the work for you. So, investing in good equipment, because the people who invest in good equipment have an easier time getting work out. And in this field, really, time is money. So the more you can work efficiently, the more money you'll make. It's as simple as that.
Absolutely. Go ahead, Dan.
Aside from, you know, the software that you're using specifically for court reporting, are there any other platforms or pieces of software or hardware that you're using that wouldn't necessarily be something a court reporter would immediately think of, like, you know, a project management platform or even just Excel to track different things that you're working on at any given time?
The great, great question. So I actually use an Excel equivalent, but it's Google Sheets. So I use that to track, you know, jobs and the basically payables, what I'm kind of keeping in mind of in terms of getting paid. I also use, because freelance, I also use the QuickBooks Self-Employed app on my phone, and that helps me keep track of mileage because, well, you know, the past year has been a little bit different in terms of work, but that's one of the things that, I mean, as a freelance court reporter, you're your own business. And so it's also on you to keep track of your write-offs, and mileage is one of them. Parking is one of them. And so that app helps me keep track of expenses like mileage and like parking fees and other business expenses to really just help simplify things in terms of computer stuff. I mean, I'm a big computer nerd. So what don't I have? I love this, my widescreen monitor. So basically I have a couple of backup computers, but I have one computer that I take out to the jobs. But when I get home, I take that laptop and I plug it into a thing called a docking station that pretty much powers my whole entire home office. And with that, I actually have a really widescreen monitor, which is about 34 inches. And I'll have my software running on one side and the exhibits or my email running on the other side. So I can quickly refer to exhibits or refer to my email if something comes in. So, I mean, there's tons of stuff that you can invest in. But if I were, you know, to kind of, as a new student, you want to kind of take it slowly and keep in mind, this is, you know, has been five years in the making. So, you know, it's okay to take things one at a time and just slowly build up your equipment as well.
Great advice, Christina.
Okay, so as a follow-up to the technology pieces, do you remember what was the first thing you got as a brand new reporter out of the gate?
So I've just heard from talking to friends and colleagues really good things about sound professionals, that they make these great quality mics. And so I went ahead and bought one. Now they're quite an investment, but I have to say, I mean, they're amazing in terms of the I guess the ability of the mic to pick up really good audio. And also the support, because once again, when you're a new reporter, you're trying to learn all these things, but sound professionals actually, you know, can connect to your laptop and help you get that set up. They also have really clear instructions. So the mic that I personally have is, I believe it's the Sound Professionals Hub mic, which is kind of two birds in one stone. It acts as kind of a USB hub that allows three more ports for you to plug in, but it also has like, I think a 3 foot long cord. And in today's day and age with social distancing, I could plop that mic down a little bit farther away. And it actually also has a headphone port. So I can plug my headphones in and have it amplify into my ear. So that's been a really good investment. And so when I'm scoping, I mean, a lot of times my audio is almost as clear as the videographer's audio. And so that's going back to working efficiently. If you don't have really good audio, you're having to play back that portion time and time and time again and trying to figure out what they say. But then when you have really good audio, then you could just play it back once and normally figure it out if you need a repeat. So, yeah.
That is excellent advice, Christina. And I think that in addition to the advice about knowing your software, I think those two key components right there are the best two pieces of advice we can offer anyone getting started in this business. You must know your software to start with, because you can't just simply sit down and edit if you don't know what you're doing. And then what's the point in editing if you can't use your audio to its fullest extent? So there are some really, really important pieces there that need to be looked at from the very beginning. I often tell my new students that if you're putting together a wish list for Christmas or birthdays or something like that, maybe instead of asking people to, you know, buy you a new blouse or something, a gift card to help invest in some of these initial expenses up front is a great way to help new students become very successful reporters by setting a foundation that helps them be as efficient as they can be, which of course factors into the entire time management picture.
And to add to that, Darlene, in terms of time management, I mean, planning ahead. I mean, like you said, trying to plan out, you know, your career and maybe requesting gift cards in lieu of something that you want right now to invest in your future. I mean, with this job, because you, I mean, there's only so many things in our control, but, you know, at a deposition, you don't know how long it's going to take. You don't know if the job might rush. You don't. So you got to really take charge of what things you have, what you have control over. And so if you plan ahead, like, for example, if you're finishing up school and, you know, you're finishing up this year or the next and you need a laptop, make sure to get a good laptop that lets you then transition to being a professional. Even machines. It was actually just this year that I bought my first new machine. If you're a court reporter, and I get it, like we're excited to get started. One of the things that I tell, you know, students transitioning into court reporting, you know, as their career is, you know, we have a lot of overhead and you got to plan ahead. And part of that is also budgeting. And at the end of the day, like, you don't need the top of the line equipment right away. You can get a really good used machine and still be able to take down the job because you kind of just want to limit all your overhead. And this goes back to time management, because let's say you just start off a job when before you even leave out the door, if you know that you need to make X amount of dollars because you have bills to pay, that adds a lot of stress. Yes. And people don't think clearly when they're stressed out and when they're just trying to stay afloat. So the less stress that you can put on yourself in terms of finances, the more energy that you can invest in yourself in terms of doing things right, as opposed to just trying to stay afloat.
Very, very good advice, Christina. I wanted to touch just briefly here on the environment of remote reporting right now. And how has being a remote reporter, I know in Virginia, you guys have been open a lot longer than most places, but how did that transition from being in person to remote affect your time management?
It kind of affected it in a good and bad way. Great, because you don't have to drive anywhere anymore. You roll out of bed and you make sure you look okay and you take the job. So that has been wonderful. So the time that I'm saving from, you know, the setup time and the commute time, I've now been able to invest in, you know, taking more work or just relaxing. but it's also changed it in that there are, I think there is more time spent in terms of the back end work. So I know with PD, and I mean, PD support is just hands down the best, but on the back end work, there might be more time dedicated to exhibit marking, because instead of being able to put a physical sticker on the exhibits, you now have to do it, you know, on a computer. So the thing is, I think the people who are pretty tech savvy, you know, making the transition, I mean, everybody had to readjust somehow, but the people who kept up with technology were the first ones ready to take the job. Whereas, you know, I've read and heard of stories about court reporters being so afraid of technology that they've chosen not to work for almost a year. And I think for me, that's crazy. I mean, that's money that you're really losing out on. And so, you know, I think it's just really important to try to stay on top of the technology. Do you have to be an industry leader? No. But if you, this is the thing, if you just take it in bite-sized pieces and just learn a thing or two, like when I go to conventions, it's sometimes overwhelming, but if you just take like a handful of things that you learn and implement it, and over the course of the years, your knowledge will grow. So make sure you keep on top of it and just keep on learning and don't get complacent. That's my biggest tip in terms of like Zoom jobs. And just try to learn as much as you can about your software and computer skills too.
Absolutely. And I think one of the key components that you just talked about right there was learning the software and how you gain some of that from conventions and things. And of course, you know, a new reporter in the industry, like you said, it's expensive to get into this line of work. And so you're not going to be able probably to do a convention right away. But the one thing that I think helps with the confidence, but also backing up to the time management of knowing your software, realizing that there are personal trainers out there on your software who can help you learn the very basics. I think students, when they're transitioning between school and actually working, think that, okay, I learned this software when I was in school, but the professional version of your software is going to be completely different. It's going to have so many more features. And so I think we get, as new reporters, it's easy to get so consumed by what you don't know with your software that it really does slow down your productivity. And so if you start out with just even an hour with a trainer in your software, and which I know can all be done remotely, doesn't have to be in person, but just learning some very basic editing functions and knowing what you're going to need to be able to do in order to turn in your first job. I've experienced a couple people who don't even know how to make an ASCII file, which it's a simple process, but if you don't know it, it can be overwhelming. So I think your comments there about keeping things manageable from a technology standpoint by removing simple things along the way, learn the basics, learn the little things, and then transition into the more advanced pieces. I think one of the things that I missed out on as a reporter was not taking advantage of macros in my software. I didn't even know what a macro was. And the whole process of thinking about it was overwhelming to me. Looking back on it now and dealing with students coming out of the school environment ready to move into that working environment, I can see how the benefit of a simple macro could be an incredibly time-saving feature. And so helping students understand that there are so many components to your software, all designed to make your job more efficient and to make it more functional for you, I think is a critical component. But in the long run, that investment of the time, clearly time management is the factor, but that investment of time in learning that software and knowing what it can do will pay more than dividends later. And as you said, you get paid by the page in this business. And so you have to factor in how many pages can I make in an hour in order to actually make this a viable career for myself. So I think those are important things for our listeners to pay attention to so that they can see the global picture in that bubble of time management to know what are the critical things I need to do from the beginning. And so do you have some other little tips that you would like to share with our listeners about those simple beginning steps?
I have so many, so I have to like narrow it down in my head. But I wanted to expand on what you said about macros in case students didn't know what they were. So what macros are just keyboard commands. So you can do them from your writer or you could do it from the computer keyboard, but it's basically a shortcut key instead of, you know, pressing a bunch of keys to do one thing. You press one and that way your software or your computer knows to, you know, what to do. So it's just basically a fancy word for a shortcut key. That being said, and this is kind of Eclipse centered, but I think a lot of other softwares have this. So Eclipse actually has shortcut keys called hyperkeys. And I know this is a podcast, so you don't see what I'm holding up right now, but this is one of the first things I did as a student is I printed out the Eclipse hyperkey chart. And I have, I had a really good Eclipse teacher back in the day, Linda Hagen, shout outs to her. She was awesome. But one of her tips was, open up a transcript and learn these shortcut keys. And so that's exactly what I did. I took the time, I made a little transcript, and I would mark up which keys I really liked. And because you don't use all of these, but the ones that you do quite often shaves so much time. And so I know StenoCat has shortcut keys. Case has shortcut keys. So definitely, you know, as a student, this is one of the things that you can learn absolutely free because it's already in your software. That is just such a good investment in terms of what you get out of it. And in the time that you put in. So that's, I think, my number one tip is shortcut keys.
Great. That leads me to another question about shortcuts, if you will. Clearly, keeping your hands on the keyboard is the most critical function, even when you're editing, keeping your hands on your computer keyboard, as opposed to having to move your hands all around. Do you employ a foot pedal for listening to your audio playback as you go through, or do you rely on the keyboard commands from your software for your audio sync?
I do both. It kind of just depends what I feel like doing that day. I have a foot pedal, but because I've written my own shortcut keys, I basically have one key that I hit on the keyboard that's centralized that stops and starts audio. So it's pretty much the same thing. It basically is what makes sense to you. So for me, doing the foot pedal and also the keyboard was a little like, you know, patting your head and rubbing your belly. So I'm like, if I could do everything on the keyboard, why not do that? Yes. But it's just kind of like what makes sense to you, like kind of like briefs. It's like what makes sense to you might not make sense to the other person. So whatever you're comfortable doing, by all means, do it. The other thing, the other piece of advice that I recommend students do now that really is, I mean, free and super easy, is getting to know your computer in terms of yes. file management. Because as a trainer, I've sat in, you know, with court reporters and I'm like, okay, show me the problems that you're having. And it's no joke taking them 15, 20 minutes to find the job. And I mean, that's time that you're not getting back. And when with Zoom jobs now, it's even more important to have your files organized. So this is something that students can do and really implement now before they become full-fledged court reporters. If you know where to keep your folders and how to keep them organized, it just saves so much time because you're not wasting time trying to find and, once again, stressing yourself out because you're like, did I lose that file? I can't find it. So this is a little bit difficult to describe over a podcast, but I'll try my best. So in terms of when I say file location, I mean, make sure you save all your files to a job in one centralized folder. So I basically have all my jobs in one folder. That includes all the different Eclipse files, the dictionary, the actual transcript, the audio, and whatever else in one file. But with that, I also keep the exhibits, the notices. That's all in one folder. And I name them all the same. By that, I mean, I've devised this file naming system. So for example, if I were working for PD, it would be a two-letter agency code. So it would be PD and then the job number. So it would be PD, let's say 123456. So all the files would be named relating to that job would be named that base file name. And from that, I would say, if it were a notice, it would be PD 123456 notice, PD 123456 certificate, PD 123456 exhibit 1, PD 123456 exhibit 2. And all the Eclipse files, because they're a different extension, there's no risk of, you know, having them save over each other because they're different types of files.
Correct.
But when you have it all in one centralized folder, guess what? When I get that late order from 2 years ago and they're like, hey, Christina, this transcript just ordered, I can type in PD123456 in that folder and have everything related to that job pop up. Because that way you don't risk losing any files, losing any exhibits, losing anything. Everything's there and easy to find. So you're not wasting your time trying to find where you saved it, you know, and stuff like that.
Well, Christina, this has been an awesome time to pick your brain about this particular topic of time management. I sincerely appreciate you sharing your thoughts with our students and our new reporters. And I hope that we can invite you back again to pick your brain, maybe on something even more fun like technology, because you are our tech nerd. So thank you again, Christina, for sharing your time and energy with us today. And we hope that that our listeners will be able to take advantage of some of your tips.
Awesome. Thanks, Darlene. Thanks, Dan.
And that's all the time we have for today. Thank you, Christina, for joining us. Keep up the great work out there. And thank you, listeners, for joining us on this episode. We look forward to seeing you the next time on The Modern Court Reporter.